Welcome to the Functional Medicine Radio Show with your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga, known internationally as the Functional Medicine Doc. Dr. Carrie is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems and fixing the cause with natural treatments so they can feel normal again. Dr. Carrie is the founder of Functional Medicine Ontario and is the author of the hit book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. Please welcome your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Functional Medicine Radio Show, the only internet radio show dedicated to giving you real solutions to improve your health. Not only are they real solutions, but they're natural solutions as well, because as you know, the one and only true wealth you have is your health. I'm your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga, the Functional Medicine Doc, and I'm committed to helping you find the root cause of your health problem, fix the cause with natural treatments so you can feel normal again and live your life to the fullest. Just a quick bit of housekeeping before I introduce today's special guest. I'm happy to announce that I'm working on my next book. The title is Reclaim Your Digestive Health and Feel Normal Again, Fixing the Root Cause of Your GI Distress with Natural Treatments. Now, this book should be ready later this year, so keep an eye out for it. All right, that's it for our housekeeping, so let's get started. My special guest today is an expert and someone that I greatly admire. Her name is Dr. Michelle Summers-Colon. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Michelle is the author of Body Wisdom, 10 Weeks to Transformation so you can get and feel healthy again. She's a holistic podiatrist, entrepreneur, yoga instructor, and a motivational speaker offering workshops and online courses based on her book. She hopes to inspire women to live happier, healthier lives that honor their own bodies, wants, and desires. Dr. Michelle, thank you so much for being my special guest today on this episode of the Functional Medicine Radio Show.
Thank you, Dr. Carrie. I'm super excited to be here today.
Now, Dr. Michelle, I've done a lot of podcast interviews. I'm going on almost 2 years now, actually, podcast interviews. And you are my first expert that I have on to talk a little bit about Ayurvedic medicine. So can you give our listeners an overview of what that is? Because actually a lot of people have never heard about Ayurvedic medicine.
Sure. Ayurvedic medicine is basically Indian medicine, and it is one of the oldest forms of medicine around, 5,000 years old. And it basically is using food and herbs as medicine, which I know is very much in alignment with what you do. And it takes the elements of the earth, the fire, the water, the air, and kind of talks about how that makes up different body types. And so in Ayurveda, there's three basic body types that are described, and those are called the doshas. And knowing what body type you are will gear you towards which types of foods and exercises and things that are going to be best for you. So the three main ones are called Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And there's various online quizzes that you can Google and you can take to see which dosha you are by answering some questions. And then based on that, you can look up what's a good diet for you based on your dosha, based on your makeup.
Now, this goes beyond just like your body shape.
Right. It asks you questions about some of your physical features, like are you broad-shouldered, are you skinny, are you heavier? And it also goes into how you think, like do you get angered easily? Are you very easygoing? When you wake up in the morning, do you feel kind of sluggish, like you don't really want to get out of bed? So there's a lot of different types of questions that go into these quizzes to find out really what is your makeup.
So do people usually fit into one specific dosha, or do they kind of sometimes mix between a couple of them?
It's usually a mix. Usually there's a predominant one, maybe you're 60 or 75% of one, and then 25 or 30, 40% of another one. So it's usually a mix of two, but most of the time there's one that's predominant, and it's pretty obvious when you're talking to a patient and you're asking them maybe what their symptoms are, what they're coming in to see you for. You can kind of tell on taking their history which dosha is the predominant one and which one is out of balance. And so that's another thing about Ayurveda. It's all about getting everyone back into balance, into their natural rhythm. And so by looking at their different symptoms, we can see, okay, this dosha is out of balance. This person needs to eat this to balance that dosha, and then they'll start feeling better.
Okay, and then, you know, I was really curious, how did you get into Ayurvedic medicine?
I got into Ayurvedic medicine because I was actually feeling not well for a while. I was feeling really sick for a long time, and I was looking into different types of alternative medicine because traditional Western medicine just wasn't doing it. And so that's how I found Ayurveda, and I started working with an Ayurvedic practitioner, and I started getting healthy again, and just mainly by changing my foods and by taking certain herbs. And then I decided that I needed to share this with the world, and I decided that I would study Ayurveda so that I can start using it with my patients.
Isn't that funny? That's how most of us get into medicine, natural medicine, whatever, is that you have a real personal experience with it, and mm-hmm. it just shifts your perspective.
That's right.
Okay, so let's dive into something that a lot of people, a lot of listeners, even me, struggle with, and that is changing our habits. Now, we all know what we should be doing, but can you give us any advice on how to get healthy naturally by creating better habits in a way that's actually sustainable?
Yes, I could definitely help you with that. That's what I teach in my courses, and that's covered a lot in my book, but one of the main things to do is to not make it too hard for yourself. So, like, for example, if someone wants to lose weight and they know that they have a bad habit of eating too much, if they try to go cold turkey and do some drastic diet, they're going to fail. So they're setting themselves up for failure. So what we have to do is start looking at the individual little habits or little activities that you do every day that leads to someone eating too much. So maybe they're eating too late at night. Maybe they're eating the wrong types of foods. And we really get into that, and so they can start making small little changes to make those habits into better habits. So I start really small with them, like really, really small.
And to me, that makes perfect sense. And well, taking small steps, that works in our health, and that works in a lot of different areas of our lives. There's actually a great book out there called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. I don't know if you've ever read that one.
Yeah,
but he
talks, one of my favorites.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a great book. Okay, so listeners out there, if you haven't read The Slight Edge, you should, because that applies to all areas of your life, including your health. And he talks about the importance of just taking small steps. We have big goals with our health, usually, but the people that are most successful are the ones that take it step by step. So, Dr. Michelle, do you have any other advice when it comes to creating changeable, sustainable habits?
So, aside from taking really small steps, another thing that helps a lot is doing it in conjunction with someone else. So, either with a group or with a coach or with an accountability partner, because when you are doing it on your own, you are, I think the statistics is 85%. You have 85% more chance of doing it successfully when you're doing it in conjunction with someone else, with an accountability partner, a group, or a coach. So that really goes to show you that how much that really works.
And do you think having our listeners like try and build new routines or different routines, thinking about their morning routine, their evening routine, makes a difference as well?
Yeah, definitely. I take it one step at a time. So, for example, we might work on our morning routine for a whole week. That's all we focus on. And the rest of our day is like our normal day. And so for that whole week, we'll just focus on our morning routine and making small changes to that. And once that's kind of under our belts, like, okay, I get it, I'm doing it every day, and now it's becoming a habit, then we move on to another habit, which would be the evening routine. And then again, we work on that for a certain amount of time. And so we do each thing for a certain amount of time, and then we move on to something else. And within that one thing that we're working on, we do small changes at a time.
Okay, so let's kind of switch gears here and talk about a good habit that all of us should be doing. which is a meditation practice. So what advice can you give our listeners about building that routine, about beginning a meditation practice?
Yeah, I hear a lot of people saying that they want to start meditation, but then they don't really know how, or they say that they struggle with it, like they can't do it. A lot of people will just say, I just can't sit still. So one of the things that I have people do to start out with is either listening to a guided meditation or something that's similar. You can get all kinds of free different apps for your phones where you can download or listen to these guided meditations. And that will just get you into a habit of listening to it. If you can do it at the same time every day, let's say you're someone that has a hard time falling asleep. This would be a good thing to do in the evening time because it'll wind you down. You can set your app or your phone for a 3-minute guided meditation, and you can just listen to that. You sit quietly. You don't have to sit with your legs crossed or any of that. You can just sit quietly in a chair and just listen to that, and it tunes everything else out because you're just listening to that voice. Now, that's a good way to get started for someone who's struggling. The other thing is doing it at the same time each day. So a lot of people like to start their day with it. Other people like to end their day with it. It doesn't really matter as long as you can make it into your schedule so that you'll remember to do it. So doing it at the same time each day really works.
Okay, so I know for myself when I've tried meditation, it's a struggle because I can't clear my mind. I just, things keep popping into my mind and I'm like, I should be meditating. And then another thing pops into my mind. I'm trying to meditate and then another thing pops in. Okay, so.
That's totally normal, and that's totally normal. So we don't want that to discourage anyone when they start. So that will happen, and if the guided meditations aren't working or certain people don't like them, that's okay. Then the next step we can try is, instead of saying, okay, I'm going to sit down and meditate, you say, I'm going to sit down and just watch my breath. So instead of really thinking about the fact that we're meditating, what we do is we just sit down, we close our eyes, and we count our breathing. So we just do slow breathing, deep breathing, where we inhale for maybe a count of four, and we're counting. So we can't really think about a lot of stuff when we're counting. Our attention's on the counting. And so we're breathing in slowly. We count as we inhale to a count of four. And then when we get to the end of that, we hold it for maybe a count of two. And then we let it go for maybe another count of four. And then we just have them do that maybe 10 times, or maybe set a timer and do it for 2 minutes. And as you're doing that, you're not really thinking of other thoughts because you're really focusing on inhaling and counting. So your mind is kind of on that. And then as you get used to doing it, then you're able to do it without the really counting. You can just do it with the breathing. And it really starts getting you into that mindset of meditation without really saying that you're meditating.
So one of the meditations that I talk about in my book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again, and I actually have patients do this meditation when I do acupuncture in my office. So after I insert the needles, I'll just leave them be for about 15, 20 minutes on the table. And I'll have them do this meditation. I'll have them imagine their favorite color. As they breathe in, they'll imagine their favorite color flooding all through their body down to their fingertips and their toes. And then when they breathe out, I'll have them imagine either a color that they hate or just blackness, and just kind of focus on that. And that seems to work. It's a little bit easier for people, I should say.
Yeah, that's good. That's kind of like the counting, because they're concentrating on the color and the breathing rather than the fact that they're trying to meditate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so beginning a meditation practice is a good routine for all of us to get into. So let's kind of switch gears and talk about a different kind of routine that a lot of people struggle with, and that is their sleep routine.
Yeah, this is a big one, because as we all know, if we're not getting enough sleep, we're not our best throughout the day, and there's so many people that aren't sleeping great right now.
And so what kind of advice can you give our listeners when it comes to their evening routines and their morning routines when it comes to sleep? Because I know a lot of it has to do with what you do before you go to bed, but also what you do when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, so One of the things that we try to do in Ayurveda is we try to get people to get 8 hours of sleep. Now, a lot of people right off the bat are going to say, well, I don't need 8 hours of sleep. I've always survived on 5 or 6 hours of sleep and little things like that. And that's probably true, but it doesn't mean that they don't need 8 hours of sleep. That's how our bodies were built, and most people do need around that amount of sleep. So what we try to do is get them on a routine where they are going to bed at 10 and getting up at 6. Now, when you talk about going to bed at 10, you have to go way back in your day and start really planning your day out so that you can go to bed at 10. So we try to get people to eat their dinners by 6 so that when they're going to bed at 10, their food's already digested and they're not using all the energy and things that their body needs to do when they're sleeping, so that all that energy isn't used up on digesting their food. So when you eat too late or you eat the wrong foods at night, when you go to sleep, your body is digesting that food and it's not using that energy to repair, rejuvenate, and refresh you for the morning. So that's kind of the first step, is going back to their whole mealtime schedule. Once we get that under their belt and they're eating at 6 and then they're able to go to bed at 10, we work on their evening routines. So the first thing is shutting down all their electronics an hour before bed. So if you're planning to go to bed at 10, we want to start shutting things down at 9, because all of that blue light and all of that stimulation coming off of our computer and off of our cell phone is really disturbing our sleep. And we all know how many people are up late on their computers right now. So that's the next thing we address. After that, it's really about what do you need to do to kind of wind down and relax in that last hour. That last hour in Ayurveda is considered, it's in the kapha period of the day, which is considered the energy of the day that's heaviest and that's supposed to be like about love and connection. And so that's the time that before TVs and computers really got in the way, where families would kind of bond and, you know, talk, and couples would be together, and routines were different, but things have kind of changed over the years. So we want to get back to the way it used to be and use that time, if we're married or if we're in a relationship, to spend that time connecting, and also do things that are going to relax us, like taking a bath instead of a shower, because shower is very stimulating. So you want to take a relaxing bath. You want to massage yourself with oil. In Ayurveda, it's called Abhyanga, and it's called a self-massage, where every night before we go to bed, we massage our feet with oil and our legs, and it's just relaxing to the body. We do a very slow massage. And some people like to drink a warm chamomile tea or something warm that is not stimulating, so no caffeine, obviously. That helps some people sleep. So depending on what works for you, those are just some of the different things that can calm people down and relax them before they go to bed. So that would be a really good nighttime routine to get someone to get really good sleep during the night.
And then, is there a morning routine also associated with the whole sleep schedule?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's say that all that worked and everyone was going to bed at 10 and getting great sleep because they had a really good evening routine. And then in the morning, they're getting up at 6, which is in the Ayurvedic clock, in the right time of day to wake up. It's the energy where everything is vibrant and alive, and so we want to get up at that time of day with the sunrise, so that's around 6 a.m., and we want to start a morning routine that is going to start our day right, meaning giving us a positive outlook on our day. So what I have people do is, before they even jump out of bed, when they first wake up and they're still laying in bed, I have them do a 1 or 2 minute, not necessarily a meditation, but more like connecting with the universe is what I call it. So they're still laying in bed, they close their eyes, and they just take a moment to take a couple of deep breaths and then think about how their day is going to be. And they kind of plan their day out, but not in a rushed, panicked way. Not like, oh, I got to get up and I got to make breakfast and I got to go to work. Not like that. It's more like, oh, today is going to be such a great day. I'm going to get up and I'm going to I'm going to eat my breakfast and I'm going to do my morning workout and then I'm going to go to work and I have this interview with Dr. Carey today and then I'm going to go see my patients and I'm going to have such a great day and it's Friday, so I'm going to have a great weekend. And you just kind of frame your day like that in a very positive way. Then you get up and then you start with your morning routine of hydrating, drinking 2 to 4 glasses of water first thing before you have your breakfast and start getting into the rest of your morning. And so that also helps with elimination because a lot of people are not eliminating properly in the morning. So I really get into the hydration with everybody and talk to them about how important it is because a lot of people are just dehydrated and not feeling great when they wake up in the morning.
Okay, so Dr. Michelle, I'm going to play a little bit of a devil's advocate here because I know for some of our listeners, the eating their last meal at 6 o'clock doesn't work in their schedule. Like for me personally,
okay,
I'm usually seeing patients. I don't get home usually until 7:30, 8 o'clock, and that's usually then I scarf down my dinner, and then I go to bed around 11, and then I sleep in until about 8 because that's just what works for me. So, from an Ayurvedic perspective, am I just doomed, or do I take all of those good things that you talked about and just kind of shift them by a couple hours?
Well, I wouldn't say you're doomed.
Okay, good.
You know, with people's work schedules, sometimes they do have to shift things by a couple hours. From an Ayurvedic perspective, we want to be in rhythm with the rhythms of nature, and we with Ayurveda, that there's a definite Ayurvedic clock that talks about in this energy of the day, it's the best time to sleep. In this energy of the day, it's the best time to wake up. And so we try to get it as close to that clock as we can. But again, with people's schedules and the way the world is now, we just do the best we can to get it close enough.
Having said that, I can definitely see the importance of getting back to nature and what we should be doing. You know, as a culture, we are so ingrained in North America to like do and do and do and achieve and achieve and achieve. And we forget about getting back into balance with just nature. So I can definitely see how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dr. Michelle, I know we're starting to run low on time here. How can our listeners find out more about you and about your upcoming book?
Well, you can find all about me on my website, and that's drmichelle.com, and that's Michelle with one L. And also my information about my coaching program and my book should all be on the website.
Oh, perfect. So for our listeners out there, I'll make sure we have those links available on the podcast notes so that you can easily find Dr. Michelle and her program and her upcoming book. Dr. Michelle, thank you so much for being my special guest today. This has been another awesome interview.
Thank you, Dr. Carey. It was fun.
All right. That wraps up this very special episode of the Functional Medicine Radio Show with Dr. Michelle Summers-Colon. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in today. And I'd like to invite you back next week for another episode of the Functional Medicine Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Dr. Carey Drizga, the Functional Medicine Doc. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to the Functional Medicine Radio Show with your host, Dr. Carey Drizga, known internationally as the Functional Medicine Doc. Dr. Carey is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems and fixing the cause with natural treatments so they can feel normal again. Dr. Carey is the founder of Functional Medicine Ontario and is the author of the hit book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. Please tell your friends about the Functional Medicine Radio Show, and we'll see you next week with more from Dr. Carey.